Once, there were two first-year seminary students who found themselves standing on the deck of a ferry, looking at the bags packed at their feet, and giggling. In those bags were two perfectly folded albs and two absolutely perfectly crafted first sermons. They were on their way to preach for the very first time at two different churches. They had chosen those churches based on the fact that they would never, ever return to them. It was Theological Education Sunday, and it was their first time. They had half a preaching course under their belts, and they were sure that these were the best sermons ever written. After the sermon, for both of them, one of them at that particular church, on the way out the door, as you do, shaking hands, found out that there were six retired archdeacons, bishops, and archbishops in the congregation. That student will never, ever forget hearing the words echoing through their head and their heart, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Not an experience likely to be forgotten, because authority is something that we are granted graciously. The beginnings of authority, anyway. It is a measure of trust that comes with a position. In that case, the position of being someone who is learning and needing some guinea pigs to try it out on, and graciously being welcomed and talked to and received as someone who had a word to share. Authority is granted very graciously to all of us upon our birth. We are made in God's image, and we are given an authority that each of us needs to learn to live into. As well, we are given authority as members of our community, whether it be Julian on the front pew, reclining as wish I were, to the oldest person here, to those out in our community. We are each given authority in our relationships. We are a child. We are a brother. We are a parent. We are a friend. We have all of those relationships that grant us authority. And we are given authority in our workplaces and in the things that we volunteer at. By virtue of our nature of our position, we are given authority and trust it. Some of that authority falls on us lightly and some heavily. I remember about a week after I started here last year, someone said to me, "How are things at St. John's?" I said, "I've never made so many decisions in my life." From whether the office should be open till 3 or 4, to whether someone should be married in our church, to whatever it might be. But I was given that by nature of being chosen as your rector. In today's gospel, we hear those who are in authority, the chief priests and the elders of the people coming to the temple. And imagine coming to the place where you hold the authority granted to you and someone is teaching and preaching to your people. And you wonder where they came from. And of course they ask the question, "Who are you? What are you doing? And how do you think you're doing that here in our place?" Jesus had been given the authority by God, of course, and by the people, because they believed him and they wanted to listen to him. And so the authorities were a little put out and a little nervous and wondering about all of that. But authority, again, remember, is granted graciously, and it is also earned. And when they ask Jesus, he says, "Well, you can answer a question then. If you're going to question my authority, tell me, what about John?" And they're stuck. And they have to admit, "Well, we don't know." Awkward, isn't it, when we don't know? This past week, I was at a clergy conference with the other 79 clergy of the diocese, and we actually blocked this parable out, this reading. And we had one of my colleagues sat on the floor in the room, and a bunch of us gathered around and listened to him as though he was Jesus. He did a great job. The archdeacons and the bishop were asked to be the chief priests and the elders. No surprise there. They were to come in and to challenge Jesus' authority, which they did with much pomp and circumstance, and very well done on their behalves. I don't know where they learned that. And we, as the people, were very defensive of Jesus. And then when the question was asked, what about John? Where does his authority come from? They went into one of those famous huddles. The archdeacons and the bishop huddled in the background to discuss the nature of this question. And when it came time to give the answer, much to my surprise, although maybe not, the archdeacons took our bishop by the back and shoved him towards the crowd. They didn't all gather and say, oh yeah, we don't know. They literally got really into the moment. And I watched one of the archdeacons put his hand between the back shoulder blades of the bishop and literally push him out. You answer. You're the boss. Authority at play. We did it again, and it was much more congenial the second time around. So authority is something that we earn by our position. It is graciously granted, but it also has to be owned and held and lived into. Authority must not be taken for granted. Because if it is taken for granted, it becomes a dangerous tool instead of being power for good. Authority, when it is not grounded in the trust and the respect that is earned from its community, it is a power unleashed that is not healthy. Anyone who holds a position of authority, whether it be you or your neighbor or me, must learn to live into it. In the parable about the two sons, the first son is living into his authority, don't you think? Son, go to the vineyard today and work. I will not. How many of us have had children who have said that to us? And so he is deciding for his own authority, no, I'm not going to. And yet, that son realizes maybe he should. He changes his mind. And by doing that, he begins to own his authority, his ability to make a decision in himself. And he goes and he works. The second son, who says that he'll go and doesn't, does the opposite. And by doing so, one of them earns more authority and one loses some trust. Who do you think will inherit, not just because of being the first son, but who will inherit the trust of his father? The first. Every one of us makes mistakes. We don't always hold the authority we have with tenderness, with care, and with respect. And yet we are always given the chance to redeem it, because the authority given to us by those we love is indeed gracious. Jesus cuts right to the sense of any of the feelings or the thoughts of entitlement that we have again today. He reminds us that the scribes and the chief priests and the elders and us, that our accountability is something that is much bigger than just our own sense of pride. Now, what about those two seminarians that went off on the ferry with their bags packed, who were brought down to a bit of reality once they preached that amazing first sermon? Well, I'm sure neither of them remember what they said, not a word of it. They remember how they felt afterwards, being humbled and being reminded that they were there because they had a position and they were being graciously welcomed. One of them, I know, is happily retired and living in England. And she probably has great sleeps on Saturday nights. The other one, this 25 years later, has a sick stomach every Sunday morning, especially when friends show up in church. This one does not sleep well on Saturday night. Is it because that she's nervous about the crowd that you are going to yell and change your minds? No. But she is nervous because speaking the word of God means giving yourself over to it and finding something in it of authority that is not mine and that is not yours. But it's an authority that we all trust and hold and share and earn and live into together. So may each of us learn to be as accountable as we can be and to take the authority that is given to us by our God and live into it with grace. Amen.